fellow friends, and welcome to the Hymns Podcast. I'm Brad Lindsay, joined once again by our director of music and former lead singer of the punk group Cyanide Aftertaste, Dan Cole.
I was actually the guitarist. I was not the lead singer.
We've also got a special guest as well today, former bassist for the Canadian country group Cowboy Junkies, Thomas Russell. Welcome.
I'd forgotten all about that. It's so good to be with y'all.
That's the best introduction I've ever heard. All right. It's not getting edited out, by the way. It's all staying.
I will do a take two just in case.
Hymns are fun. People think they're not fun, but there's nothing more fun than hymns.
All right, so welcome back to the Hymns Podcast. We're talking today about a relatively old German hymn. What are we talking about today, Dan?
We're talking about the hymn Praise to the Lord the Almighty, Hymntune Lobe den Herren, 17th century as far as we know, something that I think our congregation loves to sing, many congregations love to sing.
So brought to us from Germany by who, and by the way, we'll get Thomas involved here. Who translated it, Thomas?
Catherine Winkworth translated it, so it came to us via England. It appeared in the Chorale Book for England in 1863.
Very good. So it comes to the English language. Joachim Neander, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, was the German writer of this hymn. A few things about him. Lived in the mid-17th century, lived for 30 years only, so he died when he was 30. His father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather were all preachers of the gospel and all named Joachim Neander. So obviously they had a lot of interesting ideas for names in that family. He was a mocking and rebellious young man, his testimony says, so grandson and great-grandson and son of a preacher, but was a hater of the gospel. And he went to church at 20 years old to specifically mock the gospel. And as the Lord works in mysterious ways, he used the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God that day to arrest young Joachim Neander's soul and heart and saved him. And he goes from being a mocker of the gospel at age 20 to just a few short years later, he's the assistant pastor at the very church he showed up to mock the gospel. So praise to the Lord the Almighty for that and for his saving hand on Joachim. He only lives 10 years after being saved, so 10 years of short life after being saved by the grace of God, and dies at age 30 of tuberculosis. So a very short life, but again, a life that was lived for those 10 years after he was saved to the glory of God. He writes this hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, as a hymn of praise to the Creator God, but also as a hymn of praise even in time of trouble. And so this hymn, well, we're going to get into the meat of it in a minute, but Dan, talk to us a little bit about this hymn, the strength of this hymn, and why we're still singing this hymn so many hundreds of years later.
Leland Ryken writes about this hymn, and there's a couple of ingredients in it that are characteristic of a psalm of praise. And in a sense, this is almost a paraphrase, general paraphrase of Psalm 103, though there are, as I know you'll get to, there are more specific scripture references throughout the hymn. But so it opens with this formal call or command to God, right? Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. And the next thing, in that same stanza, there's a naming of the person or group to whom that exhortation is directed. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. And then stanzas 2 and 4 are a listing of all of God's his praiseworthy attributes, his praiseworthy actions. And then there's a closure, note of closure, and it's probably that verse that I think everyone looks forward to singing when we get to let the amen sound from his people again. So there's that high point. And interestingly, also in the original, in the German, the translation is somewhat different. The text for the German is, Er ist dein Licht, at that high point. So, let the Amen, Er ist dein Licht, he is the light. Seele vergiss es ja nicht, soul, do not forget it. And then praise concluding with Amen is how they put it in the English translation of the German. But
So a great hymn for a Sunday morning at church as we enter his temple with praise. Thomas, you're the organist. So you're sitting behind the organ on a Sunday morning. This hymn is the one played next What goes through your mind, and how do you play this hymn and similar hymns that are hymns of majestic praise to Almighty God? What goes through your head as you're playing these?
Well, if this hymn was coming up, I would be looking forward to it because I love to play this hymn. And
good Dan news, Thomas. It's coming up.
This Sunday, I think. Can't wait.
Here you go.
But yeah, I mean, so the organ was made to support singing, and it supports the congregation very well. Of course, the organ can also be very powerful. So sometimes I like to think of it as maybe a little competition between the organ and the congregation. I don't want to drown the congregation out, so we let the congregation win. But especially like on that last verse when we get to let the amen really add on stops and open up the organ and make a lot of sound.
So second to last verse, when you're playing, you often will play lower or quieter for the congregation, then you come in with a crescendo at the end. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, different stanzas call for different volumes, different registrations, and sometimes we drop out entirely so the congregation can really hear each other sing.
Which is a powerful thing, especially on these hymns of praise as we're singing together. But the organ does add something. It's the greatest instrument ever created, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here, but it does do such a wonderful job of helping lead that and lead our voices in praise to God.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was designed to do. You know, it's not an instrument that was brought into the church from somewhere else. It came about, came to being in the church, and was designed to do exactly what we're using it for.
And this hymn was designed, as was mentioned earlier by Dan, to praise the Lord. From Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And then later in Psalm 103, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." As we come together and sing these words together, a paraphrase of this great psalm, we're doing exactly that. Thomas, thoughts from you on this hymn as we prepare to sing it on Sunday?
So what stands out about this to me musically is that it's what we call a chorale. A chorale is really just another word for a hymn, but it specifically refers to those hymns that came out of the period following the Reformation, and specifically from Germany. Many of those hymns are in bar form, so A, B. You have a line of music, you sing that line again, and then you sing a different line of music, and that's the case in this hymn. This was developed by some singer-songwriters, if you will, musician-poets called the Meistersingers, who fancied themselves as being carrying on the tradition of David in writing Christian songs, and they thought that this was the best way to write a hymn. And so we have that form in this hymn here. So often in a stanza, it's almost like a sermon. You'll have two points made by the A lines, and then kind of an application in the B line.
So give an example of that in this hymn. So we'll be looking for this when we sing it.
Okay, so right in the first stanza, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation." So those were our two A lines. And then in the B, it's telling us to do something. "All ye who hear, now who is to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration."
Interesting. So that's something we can look out for. Again, almost as the psalms are written themselves, these hymns are written with an imperative, a statement, and then we react to that statement based upon the statement being true. So great points there. A few forgotten verses from this hymn that we do not include. There was a number of verses to this hymn. "Praise to the Lord who when tempests their warfare are waging, who when the elements madly around thee are raging, biddeth them cease, turneth their fury to peace, whirlwinds and waters assuaging. Praise to the Lord who when darkness of sin is abounding, who when the godless do triumph, all virtue confounding, sheddeth his light, chaseth the horrors of night, saints with his mercy surrounding. And I thought, gentlemen, how important that is even for today, mm-hmm. as we look around our world, at our country and in our world, and the gospel being under assault, mm-hmm. and the fact that the Lord still protects his saints yeah. and uses them, and the fact that this was written in the last year of Neander's life as he's battling tuberculosis, the difficulties as he goes through these this disease that eventually takes his life, and he still looks to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, and uses the last breath of his life, so to speak, to bring praise to him. What does that mean to us as Christians today, Dan?
I was just thinking about that in terms of, you know, the past couple of people we've talked about, hymn writers we've discussed, really didn't live very long, and their lives were pretty short, or cut short, actually, shortly after they came to faith. So that sense of that breath and that life has value, and I think in our world today, Holly and I were just talking about this morning, just the sense of how life is just cheap to us now, and it's cheap in so many different ways. It's cheap in how we think about sexuality. It's cheap in how we think about abortion. It's cheap in how we think about caring for those who are dying. And that's what I think we can actually, if we think about the history of these hymns and the history of these hymn writers, they never saw life as being cheap. They knew how valuable it was. But also beyond that, they knew that there was a hope of glory beyond this world. It's a kind of a crazy irony, isn't it, to think that we think life is so cheap, and then we also think there's nothing beyond this world.
Correct.
I mean, so that's...
everything is here, more, but yeah. Here is cheap.
Yeah.
There's a warning in this hymn, and I think it's an interesting story for such an uplifting and praise-oriented hymn, that the valley where Joachim Neander would walk and obviously see nature and look around and sing. And there's something so powerful about being out in nature and praising God as he's walking around. But that same valley, around 200 years later, the valley's renamed after his death a few years later for him. It's known as Neander. And 200 years later, at the valley, the exact valley now named Neander, a cave is discovered with bones inside. And evolutionists take this to be the bones. Anatomist William King identifies these bones in the Neanderthal, which means the Valley of Neander, as the bones of the missing link in evolution. And so in this same valley where Joachim used to sing praise to God and wrote this hymn based upon his walks in that very valley, 200 years later, that valley is the place of discovery for the Neanderthal man. And then evolutionists use this to try to discount the Creator himself. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a warning for us today? And Romans 1 came to mind as I thought about that story. Romans 1, starting in verse number 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So that the creation of God, the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19 says, "And the firmament showeth his handiwork." In verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So even in this hymn of praise, we have a warning of what happens when we forget who the true Creator of the universe is, and we give glory to the creation over the Creator, and we question the Bible from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 on, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." So as we reflect on this hymn today and sing praise to Almighty God, it's important to remember what happens to a people, a nation, and a world when they forget the Creator. Gentlemen, looking forward to singing this hymn on an upcoming Sunday. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And join us again next time on the Hymns Podcast.